Welcome to the LexisNexis Commercial and General Business Transactions Law Center podcast. Discussions with leading attorneys and industry professionals. On this edition, Lee Zeichner of Zeichner Risk Analytics on increased penalties for identity theft crimes.
LexisNexis Podcasts, voted top legal-oriented podcast in a 2008 ABA Journal Blog 100, the annual reader survey of the best websites for lawyers, as chosen by the editors of the ABA Journal.
The opinions expressed by guests interviewed on LexisNexis Legal Podcasts do not necessarily reflect those of Reed Elsevier Incorporated, LexisNexis, subsidiary companies, shareholders, employees, or customers, and should not be considered legal advice. Lee Zeichner of Zeichner Risk Analytics writes cybercrime is posing a threat to the private sector, particularly to small and medium-sized businesses. Mr. Zeichner is the founder and president of Zeichner Risk Analytics and is one of the country's foremost experts on risk governance and homeland security. He currently consults on critical infrastructure issues for the Department of Homeland Security, including the National Communications System and the National Cybersecurity Division. He serves as counsel for the Business Roundtable Security Task Force and is a visiting scientist at Carnegie Mellon University Software Engineering Institute. Mr. Zeichner is the author of Cybersecurity and Corporate Liability, Volume C-10 of the Business Law Monograph Series, published by LexisNexis Matthew Bender, a guide for corporate counsel on security and risk management, and has recently written the Emerging Issues Analysis, How the Business Community Can Help Judges Crack Down on Identity Theft, also available from LexisNexis. Mr. Zeichner, thank you very much for your time.
You're quite welcome. Glad to be here.
In May 2009, the U.S. Sentencing Commission issued a final rule with five amendments that would enhance severity of punishment for cyber crimes that go into effect in November of 2009. Can you give us a little background on how these amendments came about?
Absolutely. Sentencing of crimes and computer crimes in particular tends to be an issue that not a lot of folks enjoy focusing on because it gets into lots of technical issues. But at the end of the day, the reason why this development is so important from a legal and policy perspective is that Congress and those that implement congressional policy are finally taking a look at the enormous economic damage that results from cyber-related crime. So the essence of what is going to take effect in November is a brand new approach to getting tough on cyber criminals who attack not only the federal government, but also businesses in the United States, and at the end of the day, the economy as well.
And what are some of the different types of computer crimes that we're talking about here?
Well, really what Congress was most focused on when they passed a law called the Identity Theft Enforcement and Restitution Act of 2008 were sort of the day-to-day attacks that small and large-sized businesses have to experience because they put their services online. So that would include anything from hacking into a computer to steal proprietary or customer information. It would include attacks like the recent attack on Twitter, a denial of service attack, which shuts down a particular service that a company is offering. As I alluded to, identity theft and attacks on privacy are really at the core of what Congress and United States Sentencing Commission are getting very focused on right now, and that involves where cyber criminals go in, they steal credit card information, they steal credit report information, and then they use that information in order to make money or perpetuate a larger fraud.
I want to talk a little bit more about the impact of the growth of cyber crimes on small businesses in just a bit, but first, though, according to the Commission's sentencing guidelines, I imagine there's a range of potential penalties.
Really, the way the system works is Congress lays out in very, very general terms the range of penalties that they want to see federal judges impose for cyber-related crimes. And really, the way it's worked in the past is they've set forth penalties such as for hacking and for identity theft in the 1 to 2 year range. And of course, it all comes down to the variables, but in general, the ranges may surprise most people that they're not nearly as high as you would expect. What this legislation does is it revisits crimes that involve economic damage, and it basically says that we're going to stick with the range of penalties that we have, but we're going to ask federal judges to use new guidelines to increase the mandatory penalty where the crime involves certain types of attributes. So, for example, you might maybe 2 years ago hack into a computer system and steal customer information, shut down the corporate service that's being delivered and cause enormous economic damage. You might steal a credit card information and sell that information and then cause enormous damage to the company and ultimately to the customer. And the judge would look at that and say, well, nobody died. There were no physical damage. Things didn't blow up. I don't see, you know, large fires taking out computer systems and companies. And ultimately, there was no damage to the nation's national security or national defense or to the public health and welfare. What these guidelines do is it focuses on economic damage, and it asks different kinds of questions like, was there economic damage to the company? Was there an intent to cause damage or obtain personal customer information? With regard to the victim, do we want to look at victims not only as people who are killed or blown up, but in terms of economic damage? So really what this begins to do is set a new dialogue within the judiciary and policymakers about looking at the damage from computer crime, not just in physical terms, but in economic terms.
There are some real specific criteria used in amending these penalties.
Well, that's correct. And I hesitate to get into, you know, 6 months and 5 years and 20 years because it gets very technical. Again, Congress sets out very broad policy criteria. So if you were to hack into a government system that was linked to the national security or national defense, Congress may lay out criteria from 0 to 10 years, just as an example. And then what the guidelines do is help the judges figure out, well, how do I gauge how much time to impose as a penalty from 0 to 10 years based on various criteria? So again, what this particular statute did and then the sentencing guidelines do is to provide a roadmap to judges on how to step-by-step gauge the damage in the context of the penalties that should be imposed.
Would you consider these to be major changes from what existed previously?
I absolutely would, whether we're talking about a small business, a large business, or the federal government. Really, to me, the very meaningful legal theme that is coming out of this is that for the first time, both Congress and the agency in charge, the entity in charge of actually thinking about sentencing guidelines, the U.S. Sentencing Commission, have begun to move away from cybercrime sentencing in terms of just physical damage, and now they're starting to look at other kinds of intangible damage, economic damage in particular, damage to privacy. These are not the kinds of things that traditionally judges will look at harshly. If you blow up a computer system, but the company is able to replicate all the data on the system, you might be judged very harshly in terms of time under the old rules. On the other hand, under the old rules, if you caused enormous economic damage and stole thousands, hundreds of thousands of customer proprietary credit cards and database information under the old guidelines, there really was no foundation on which to impose a harsher penalty. So the significant change here is the judiciary, we expect to start getting more sophisticated about sentencing for economic damage.
Can you talk a little bit about the impact of the growth of cyber crimes on small businesses and how small businesses and medium-sized businesses, for that matter, can better protect themselves?
Well, it's a really important question. In our business, as a lawyer, we represent both small companies, medium-sized and large companies. And really, it is a difficult challenge, a difficult strategic corporate challenge, whether you're a large business or a small business. But small businesses, I would put in a different category. There's an interesting Verizon study that was done in 2009, which said that 33% of all data breaches in 2008 were directed at businesses with 100 employees or less. What that means is that a full third of the attacks are being perpetuated on small business, and probably because the majority of businesses in the United States, the strength of the economy rests on small business, and small businesses in general do not have the capital to invest in very large security programs, and so they are a very ripe target. What's troubling about that stat is that if you look at other data like the National Federation of Independent Business, a very prominent, well-known national professional association representing small business, they also looked at the issue and found that in 2007, 57% of small businesses didn't view securing of customer data as something that required formal planning. And then we're also finding that, according to NFIB, 20% of small businesses don't even use antivirus software. So when you couple the threat with what I would say is a very large vulnerability, namely that they don't have the excess capital to invest and they don't necessarily see this as something that requires formal business planning, you have a disaster in the making. So what this change in law does is it provides some no-cost help to small businesses by basically signaling to the fraud community and the crime community or the terrorism community that U.S. judges are going to start looking at economic damage and start sentencing accordingly.
What advice would you give to the small business commercial attorney as far as representing a small business client and protecting their interests?
Well, that's an important question, too. You know, when you look at the challenge of just an enormous amount of threat, that there's really nothing a small business can do. A small business cannot go after a lone hacker somewhere outside the United States who has managed to find a cheap hacking tool online and is attacking the business. I mean, you just cannot take out all the threats. So what we tend to counsel in our business is to look at vulnerability. In other words, one thing that businesses absolutely must do is, in a formal way, engage senior executives and take a very analytical and critical look at how the company is vulnerable. And then looking at the priority vulnerabilities, such as the ability to break into customer information, steal customer information, based on their top strategic vulnerabilities, what sorts of fixes can we put in place by way of formal programs? And generally speaking, those programs to mitigate risk and to manage risk involve technology changes. They involve better training and awareness for people and a more formal operating environment in which you secure information and ensure that if information does get out, that you have a plan in place to manage the damage that might occur.
I imagine, though, that if you are a small business, keeping up with all those things can be quite challenging.
No doubt. I think you're absolutely correct. But I think what the security community has done over the last decade is to kind of grow up and come up with a consolidated series of best practices and standards that small businesses can turn to in a very low-cost way to manage the risk. I mean, this game is not about risk elimination. There's just no way to operate as a small business without leveraging information technology. And if you leverage information technology, it means that you're taking some risk. You're actually deploying complex technology systems to provide better service to your customers and to ensure corporate growth and help your employees deliver their services better. So you've opened up your systems and there's just nothing you can do about that. So what we find is that small and medium-sized businesses that get engaged at the highest executive level, send a signal that cybersecurity is something that can absolutely harm the brand of the company, the reputation of the company. It can hurt our customers. It can hurt our vendors and suppliers. That there are ways to gauge the health of the company from a cybersecurity perspective, and then to take very meaningful and deliberate steps towards managing the risk in the context of what's important to the company.
Did the Sentencing Commission get the business community involved in the process of coming up with these sentencing amendments? I mean, did they make it part of the process?
I'm really happy you mentioned that. One thing that, you know, lawyers like to do and tend to do is to delve into bureaucratic information, administrative information, and kind of find out how to issue comments and how to read comments and how is it that policymakers are influenced. And what Congress and the U.S. Sentencing Commission did, I think, was wonderful. It was very transparent. It was a very open process. As you may know, the Sentencing Commission, it's an independent agency responsible for establishing these sentencing guidelines. And what they did is they took congressional direction to take a look at identity theft and ask the business community, how should we gauge sentencing? Should we impose harsher sentences? And how do we impose harsher sentences? But it was disappointing to see when, you know, we went in there and looked at the comments that no small business had written comments. And really, there were only, as I recall, maybe five or six meaningful comments that were submitted in the process. And, you know, I think that you can't really criticize the business community for not getting more involved. It's hard enough to run your business and to fight these kinds of computer crimes. But at the same time, what I would encourage is that people become maybe slightly more aware of the help that, you know, judges and other stakeholders in the criminal justice system can provide, and maybe to get a little bit more engaged in challenging and helping raise awareness within the sentencing community as to how the judiciary ought to handle what is a problem that is just not going to go away.
That's very true. It's not going to go away. With that in mind, what impact do you think the new amendments to the sentencing guidelines are going to have?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, and I think there's a lot of people who are going to watch. I think one thing, maybe one detail that's interesting to share is that the guidelines raised a new term of art to the sentencing community, which is critical infrastructure. And the critical infrastructure is defined as it could be a small business system or a medium or large-sized business system that supports those portions of the economy that are critical for national security, national defense, or public health and welfare. So, for example, if I'm a company that helps to support the electric power grid, or if I'm a company that provides critical services for a water treatment facility, a transportation system, a financial institution, anything that would be considered a critical infrastructure that judges are now required to consider far more severe penalties. So again, for example, if I'm a cyber hacker and I break into a business that provides a critical infrastructure service to the United States, whether it's, you know, in a small city or a large city, then when it's time for me to pay my price, the judge is instructed to actually provide a far more serious penalty. I think that there's a trend there, and that whether you're a small business or a large business, what Congress and the judiciary are really saying here is that we are going to start paying far more attention to attacks that not only, you know, steal customer information, but attacks that really could hurt the economy of the United States at the end of the day and undermine public trust and confidence in our institutions. So I would say that that is a really important trend to watch, and it's something that we're actually excited about. By way of background, the whole movement to encourage the judicial branch to pay more attention to critical infrastructure and economic damage has been underway now for a decade. So we were very happy to see that stakeholders within the sentencing community and Congress are actually paying more attention to attacks on businesses that could severely impact the United States as a whole. To go back to your question, we see this as a trend. So again, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, if you blew up a computer system, you were far more likely to pay a severe penalty when it came to sentencing than if you simply hacked in and stole information but didn't cause any damage physically. What we see now that is going to be a trend well into the future is that judges are going to be instructed and trained to think more severely about economic damage that could hurt a small business, even though there might not be any explosions or physical damage to the infrastructure. Economic damage is on par with physical damage.
Mr. Zeichner, really appreciate your time. Any final thoughts on these issues?
Well, I think I deeply appreciate the opportunity to talk about the issue, and I think the lack of comments and engagement from the business community on what is a really important topic is something that I hope that law students and lawyers and other business professionals will start to pay attention to. That what I found in this case was government folks very willing to engage the private sector and learn and come up with ways to help the corporate community fight computer crime, you know, what is an issue that is just going to get worse over time. So I think what maybe a final thought is, this is a great area for law students and faculty and others to encourage more study and more communication between the business community and the judiciary, as well as the legislative branch, on how to continue to fight what is a threat that is just going to grow over time.
Lee Zeichner, president of Zeichner Risk Analytics, thank you very much for being part of this LexisNexis podcast. This has been the LexisNexis Commercial and General Business Law Center podcast. Visit the Commercial and General Business Law Center and all our communities at www.lexisnexis.com/communities. The LexisNexis Commercial and General Business Transactions Law Center podcast. Copyright 2009 by LexisNexis, a division of Reed Elsevier Incorporated. LexisNexis, Total Practice Solutions. I'm Steve Bursler. Thanks for listening.